Hello. Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 4th. This is from Capitol coverage. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders easily won Colorado's first presidential primary in 20 years on Tuesday night. KUNC's Scott Franz has the story.
Sanders kept visiting Colorado even after he won the state's last nominating contest against Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. His rallies in downtown Denver this year drew thousands of spectators. It underscores the state's shift to the left among young voters, and it highlighted a schism between growing numbers of young, college-educated voters and the traditional, more moderate party establishment. The state has 67 Democratic delegates at stake. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump resoundingly won the state's Republican primary. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
And in a follow-up, according to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Super Tuesday appeared to go off without a hitch, at least in Colorado. More than that, it appeared to do exactly what state political leaders wanted when they scheduled Colorado to join 13 other states to hold their presidential primaries on the first Tuesday in March. The thinking was that by holding a presidential primary early in the presidential selection process, something that 64% of voters approved in a 2016 ballot measure that also allowed unaffiliated voters to cast ballots, more national candidates would come to the state to campaign. And they did. Over the past several weeks, the state, primarily the Front Range, saw several big-name Democratic candidates come, including all the main ones who are still in the race: Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Michael Bloomberg. And President Donald Trump came to Colorado Springs, though he's not considered to have any troubles with winning the GOP nomination. While Sanders long has had a strong following in Colorado, Biden picked up a number of major endorsements in the state after Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar officially ended their campaigns in the days before the election, both urging their supporters to back Biden. The actual delegate allocation from Super Tuesday may not be known for days or weeks. Moving on, an appeals court judge says that the United States Forest Service should have considered alternative wildlife protections before it gave a permit to Colorado's largest active coal mine. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KBUT's Christopher Biddle has more.
The decision came from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. It faulted the U.S. Forest Service in its role as a permitting agency for failing to consider alternative protections for wildlife in a nearly 5,000-acre piece of the Gunnison National Forest. The Pilot Knob roadless area is part of a 20,000-acre proposed expansion of the West Elk coal mine near Paonia. Matt Reed is Public Lands Director for High Country Conservation Advocates, one of six conservation groups that filed the lawsuit in 2017.
What we're seeing is time and time again, the Forest Service failing to comply with the law in its rush to approve a dirty coal mine expansion in Gunnison County.
The same coalition of conservation groups won a decision in a related case in November 2019. Much of that decision hinged upon the Forest Service failure to consider methane flaring requirements for the mine and the effects that had to wildlife. This week's decision said that consideration of methane flaring was not required by law, but still maintained that the Forest Service should have required the applicant explore more wildlife protections in the Pilot Knob area. Again, Matt Reed.
It's former habitat for the threatened Gunnison sage grouse. There's winter bald eagle range. There's winter big game range. There's elk winter concentration areas.
The West Elk coal mine is owned by Arch Coal, which employs about 300 people to run it. It's the largest coal producer in the state. Although production has fallen in recent years, it still cranks out more than 4 million tons of coal a year. For KBUT News, I'm Christopher Biddle.
And finally today, oil and gas companies pay royalties on the fossil fuels they produce from federal lands. but a new report shows that they could be putting much more into the public coffers. KVNF's Jody Peterson has the story.
The state of Colorado has missed out on more than $500 million in revenue over the past decade, according to a new report. The report from advocacy group Taxpayers for Common Sense analyzes how much money the federal government receives in royalties from oil and gas production. In Colorado, drilling on federal lands brought in royalties worth $1.6 billion between 2009 and 2018, and the state got half of that money. However, the total could have nearly been doubled if companies drilling on public lands had to pay the same royalty rate as companies drilling offshore. The onshore royalty rate is 12.5%, while the offshore rate is 18.75%. That 12.5% royalty rate for oil and gas production on federal lands has been in place since 1920, and it's much lower than the royalty rate on private or state land. For example, Colorado charges a 20% royalty rate on its state trust lands, as does New Mexico, while Texas charges up to 25%. Energy reporter Heather Richards from the independent news organization E&E News in Washington, D.C., spoke to KVNF about the report.
Their premise is pretty straightforward. 10 years ago, if we had increased the royalty rates to be the same as offshore oil and gas royalty rates, which are much higher, this is how much additional money we would have potentially made, and it's quite a bit.
Is there a rationale for having a lower royalty rate for onshore mineral development? And some industry proponents have argued that the nature of the oil and gas deposits is different and the technology is different, and therefore it's appropriate to have a lower rate for onshore minerals.
Yeah, I think reasonable people can make some of those arguments on whether or not they should be exactly the same, that in a lot of state royalty rates are much higher, and that is kind of the argument that you see from organizers who want those royalty rates up. The numbers are so large. I think a lot of people don't realize how much money we make from oil and gas development. I mean, these are public resources, and people kind of fairly make these arguments about, you know, how much are we getting back? Are we getting a fair return on these resources that belong to us as the American public? An industry comes back and also makes an argument, which is to say, hey, we put a lot of money into communities where we drill. We pay a lot of money in royalties, other fees, so we are definitely paying our fair share. And that argument goes back and forth, and it has for a long time now.
Has Congress actually tried to raise the mineral royalty rate in the past?
It has come up before. We do have a bill just came out which would raise the royalty rate to be commensurate with what we have for offshore oil and gas development, which is 18.75%.
We're not likely to see an increase in the federal royalty rate for oil and gas extracted from public land anytime soon, though. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 4th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.